Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse, we're gonna be reading from verse, not often verse 4, but I'll deal with verse 5 to 8. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 8. Amen. But I'm going to begin reading from verse 4. Amen. Everybody has it? Amen. If you stand for the reading of God's word. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Take me down a little bit. Just a little bit. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your son. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them on your, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities, which you did not build, and all of the house, and I'm sorry, and houses full of good things, which you did not buy." Amen. I'm skipping to verse 12. It says, "Then watch yourself, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." I want to talk about this morning, amen. I want to talk about this morning, amen. Focus on the family. I want to talk about it starts at home. It starts at home. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, it starts at home. Faith starts at home." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the preparation of this sermon. I pray now that you be glorified. Touch now the hearts and minds of your people. Speak a word to us today, Father God. And Lord, we're praying, Father God, for someone's life to be transformed today. We love you. We thank you. Forgive me of my sins. Clear my mind and heart. And touch your people now. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will last forever. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Just a little bit. Amen. 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 The family, when I started this series 3-4 weeks ago, I went over the context to this passage. And I told you that the family is under attack. I told you that the home is under attack. I told you that one of the things that Satan has majored in is family mess. Come on, somebody. The family has been under attack even from the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, the Garden of Eden. We find that when God made Adam and Eve and he placed them in the garden, they had a decision to make. They had a decision whether they would be obedient to God or be disobedient to God. Satan knew that out of this union would come children. Amen. And you know what happened to Adam and Eve's children. Amen. The first murder in the Bible, Cain and Abel, amen, came out of Adam and Eve. Am I right about it? And you can tell that out of that union, after sin came into the picture, the family has been under attack. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. And so what I believe that in order for us to, amen, turn the tide, in order for us to, amen, change the course of our children's life, you may not have children yet, but this will become important to you later. Amen. that you and I have the opportunity, amen, if we follow biblical principles, we can, amen, focus on the family. I believe that it all starts at home. I told you this at the beginning of this series, that we should not expect, listen to this, we should not expect the school system, amen, to teach our children about God. Can I tell you something? They're not teaching them about God. They're not teaching them to trust God and pray, and prayer has been taken out of the schools, and we know that you can't even carry a Bible anymore. The Ten Commandments is taken out of the courtrooms, and we find that the world is trying to shape our family. And I want to encourage somebody here today that, and I want to ask you a question today, who will teach your children about their faith? Who will teach them what to believe? Who will teach them about God? And see, because if God is etched out, I gotta go my word again, if God is etched out of your life, amen, then life can become very difficult without God. And we see children today, they are suffering because, and they're making bad choices because God is nowhere in their lives. Some kids have no clue, amen, that there's a God. And let me say this to you. When they leave home and they go to college and they go into these philosophy classes and they start teaching them that God does not exist. You've seen the movie, God's Not Dead. They teach them that God is dead, that God doesn't exist. But you and I know, come on, somebody, if you've ever been touched by God, come on, somebody. Anybody here, you've experienced the power of God. You've experienced it for yourself. And it's amazing because our children come to church and they look at us and they see how we act in church. But the question is, does that go home with them? Come on, somebody. You see, because there's a time when you and I have to prepare our children, amen, to not only meet God, but turn their lives over to God at a young age so that when they grow older, amen. I told you this on thank you, Usher. I told you this on Tuesday night. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go or she should go. And when he's old, he will not what? Depart from it, right? And the reason he will not depart from it, because you told them the truth, because you talked to them about Jesus and you talked to them about their faith. And listen, here's the thing. Here's the question I have for you today. Amen. Amen. Who's going to teach your child about God? And I believe, saints, that it starts at home. I believe that the reason I say that it starts at home is because home is one of the most influential places. Amen. Home is where we prepare them, come on somebody, for life. Home is where you learn all your values. Home is where you learn, amen, how to deal with circumstances. And amen, some of us don't have a home, or we've never been part of a family, or whatever the case may be. I remember, amen, for me, I grew up in a group home. I grew up in a shelter, and I learned my values at the formative years of my life. I learned my values there. But nobody talked to me about God. And I want to say this to you. If there's hope for us, and if there's hope for our children, we got to know that it starts at home. We find in this passage in Deuteronomy, we find that God had... The Israelites were now about to enter into the promised land. Amen. They had not witnessed the different transactions that had happened in the wilderness. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, this is the new generation that's getting ready to go into the promised land. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. And what they were doing was, and I told you this last time we talked about this passage, that you have to prepare your children for where they're going. Prepare and plan for their success. But there's something else that we find in the text that Moses did. Moses reviewed the history Sometimes you got to talk to your children about where you've been. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We did that in locker room yesterday. We talked to some of the men in there about where we've been. Do I have anybody? And some of us, we've adapted some bad family traditions. Come on, somebody. That we always got to get drunk when we all get together. You follow what I'm saying? We all got to get high and we all got to party when we get together. But listen, we can have some clean fun. We as Christians, we can change the tides. Can I tell you something? You can be difference makers. You can be a generation, amen, that changes your life. Amen. A generation that stands up and live for God. We can raise up a generation of kids. Amen. We can raise up our families. Amen. Serving God and living for God. There's nothing wrong. We talked about it yesterday. We said we're going to get rid of sex. We're going to get rid of pride. We're going to get rid of drinking, drugs. And then I looked at it and said, well, that ain't no fun. That's a boring life. That's what the world tells us. But if we teach our children, amen. Come on, somebody. In chapter 5, we find that Moses repeats the Ten Commandments to remind them that they were getting ready to go into a new territory. And can I say this to you this morning? That it's up to us, parents, to prepare our children for uncharted course. Come on, somebody. To prepare them for places that they have never been before, that you have been, that you have messed up. Come on, somebody gonna talk to me today. Amen. Don't get conservative and cute on me this morning. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. You know you've messed up. You know you've messed up, but now you can make a difference in the life of your children by teaching them about God. So what I find to be interesting in this passage, look at chapter 6. He says right there in the first verse, he says, now this is the commandment and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, watch this, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess. Listen, we can't just throw our kids out to the world and expect that they're going to be successful. We have to prepare them by telling them that God will make you successful. That you honor God every step of the way. That when you get a promotion, you say, thank you, Jesus. That when you elevate to the next level in life, because we are preparing them at home. Next week, I'll talk about marriage. I'm going to talk about that relationship. Amen. Next week, I'm going to talk about the fact that your children are watching. Come on, somebody. But it starts at home. Turn to your neighbor and say, it starts at home. It starts at home. It starts at home. Watch what he says. He says, so that you, verse 2, so that you and your son and your what? God is not just interested in what you have now. Some of us don't even have kids, and God is interested because guess what? They're coming one day. But if you start now, amen, preparing yourself by surrendering yourself to God and saying, God, I'm going to live for you, God. Yeah, I know it gets tough sometimes. I know, but listen, at least if you messed up the first half of your relationship with your children, you can do it on the back end. God always gives us, come on, somebody, a second chance. Anybody here need a second chance this morning? Anybody here need a second chance to try to do it God's way? Come on, somebody. The text says in verse 4, he says, hear now, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You see, if we're going to prepare our children, amen, if faith starts at home, and if we're going to focus on the family, we have to make God the only one. Come on, somebody. You may want to write that down. We have to make God the only one. God, G-O-E, God over everything. Amen. Write it down. Write it down. G-O-E, God over what? Everything. And we have to remind ourselves that God is one, that he should be the only one, amen, in order for us to change our characters and change who we are. God has to be number uno, one in our lives. And if God isn't in first place, he's going to be last place, because there's no other place to put God other than first place. Because if he's second place, that's last place to him. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so what we have to do is put God first. And so what the writer is telling us in verse 5, he goes on to say this, and I want to show you what you need, and I'm going to sit down, and we're going to go home. Amen. Watch what he said. He says in verse 5, he says, number one, he says, you shall do what? Now, who's he talking to? Us. He's talking to parents, right? Now, watch this. Your children don't automatically know how to love God. Look what he said. You shall love the Lord your God, watch this, with all your what? Heart. With all of your what? Soul. And with all of your strength. Your heart, your soul, your strength. Can I ask you something? How much do you love him today? And if it starts at home, and if you're going to teach your children about faith, the first thing is we have to show them that you really love God. Show them. Don't just say, oh, Jesus, I love you. You know what I'm saying? Show them. Show them that you love them with all your heart, with all your heart. How many of you love God with all your heart? Can I say something to you? What you fall in love with, your kids will fall in love with too. If you're in love with the world, they'll be in love with the world. If you love video games, they're going to love video games. If you love movies, they're going to love movies. What you fall in love with, amen, they will fall in love with. And so it's one thing to follow God, but there's another thing, amen, to be in love with God. And watch this. The word there for love means to be devoted to the Lord. See, watch this. Watch this. You show your children that you really love them by the way you live. Amen. With everything you have, with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, when we show them we love Jesus, they will have no problems coming to Jesus. That's why he says, now listen, the reason why I want you to love me is because when you love me, then you qualify to talk about me. You see, we can't love the world and love God at the same time. How many know that loving two is hard to do? How many know that if you don't seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will not be added to you? And then a lot of people say, I love God. But when the going gets tough, when life starts throwing you swift transitions, you can tell if you really love God because you're willing to hold on. You're willing to go through the fire. Somebody going to help me in a minute. Listen, we must teach them about God, watch this, not by lecturing them, but by the way we love God. How much do we love? Watch, listen, I wish I had this example when I was coming up. Man, my mama loved God. Wish I could say that. You follow what I'm saying? Wish I could say that I saw somebody who showed me how to love a God that I don't see. You see, there's a concept here. It's hard to love somebody when you don't see them. That's why we come to church. That's why we have his word. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because, watch this, we can in turn return what God returned to us. Listen, God shows us his love every day. Show them that you love them. But watch the next verse. Next verse says, verse 6. He says, these are the words which I am commanding you today. These words which I'm commanding you today, verse 6. He says, shall be in your what? He says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your what? It shall be on your heart. So here's the thing. If it starts at home and if we're going to teach them about faith, the next thing is we have to show your children that you really obey God. Not only show them that you love God, because everybody can walk around saying, I love God. But do you obey him? Do they have an example of what that means? We say we love him, but do we do what he... Oh, man. All right, today, boy. See, I'm going to have to work a little bit here today. It's all right. See, we want our kids to be consistent in every area of their life, right? This will not happen until they learn to obey God. See, when you obey God, God will be consistent with you. Obedience brings blessings. Obedience to God brings God's favor upon your life. The text says, you shall not only do this, but the words which I'm commanding you today. In other words, take God at his word. And so watch this. Our children need to see you pray. They need to see you read. They need to see you worship. They need to see you serving. They need to see you giving. They need to see you obeying. And when we obey God, amen, our children would want to obey God. Are you with me? Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, now we move into the piece right here that's powerful. Look what he says next. It starts at home, y'all. Watch what he says next. You shall teach them. See, here's the thing. How can I teach somebody something I don't know? How can I share with my children about God? How can I teach them how to love God when I'm not doing it? And that's been the problem, y'all. We've been telling, y'all kids can testify to this. We've been telling our children to do stuff that we don't even do. Y'all don't want to say amen. Y'all don't want to get beat today. Amen. We've been telling them, you got to go to church, but we don't come to church. We got to tell them, you got to read, you got to pray, but we don't pray. They don't see you praying. They don't see you in devotion. They don't see you lifting your hands and praising. He says, when you hear these words of mine, like you're hearing right now, let it be upon your heart. Amen. Live it so that they can see it. But he says, you shall teach them what? Diligently to your sons. Are you with me? You shall teach them what? Diligently to you. It's easier to teach them when they're children than when they become adults. So the next point is, spend time teaching your children the word. Listen. Spend time teaching. Open the book. The Lord is my shepherd. Every child should know the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, somebody. Do you know the Lord is my shepherd? Do you know the Our Father prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven. Come on, you can say it. Hallowed be thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Spend time teaching. Listen. I know it's the church's responsibility. But this is why when you come to church, you got to take notes. And the reason you take notes and you take the life points with you so that when you go home, you can say, all right, son, this, all right, daughter, this is what we, all right, family, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to live this out. See, because if it starts at home and we put them in front of the television. Amen. We teach them bad habits. Come on, somebody. We do all these other things, but he says, when you hear my word, teach them diligently to who? To who? Your sons. Now look at the next part of this verse. And what he says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So not only should you teach them, but the next thing you got to do is spend time at home talking to your children about the word. Don't preach at them, talk to them. Oh, I'm going somewhere. The only way you can get them to do right is if you talk to them about it. Well, what does the word say, honey? What does the word say, child? Come on, let's look and see what the word says. See, remember I taught you that a long time ago? Remember I taught you, Lord is my shepherd? Remember that? Now you got to understand how that works. Let me tell you how that works. It works like this. When you're going through, you know that you got a God that's with you. And a shepherd, what he does is he guides you. He protects you. Amen. But he also disciplines you. You see, our conversations at, see, here's the thing. If the fly could talk, y'all ain't saying nothing. If the fly could talk and came to church and talk about your house, the conversations that be going on in your house, what would the fly say, y'all? What would the fly say? You see, and it's the same thing when we talk to our children. They're so impressionable. Now, I'm not saying that you can't talk to them about anything else and, you know what I mean, life stuff and things like that. But here's the thing. You're building on a foundation. And the question that I have, and I keep saying this, their faith starts at home. Now, watch this. Watch what the text says. Spend time talking to them. He says, when you sit in your house, watch this. Watch this. He says, well, you shall talk of them. You see, your home must become the base of all conversations about the word of God. Listen, don't wait till they come to church. Talk to them, y'all. If no one is talking about the word, then what are you really talking about? Come on, somebody. Our kids are around negativity all day in school. They're around bad influence. They hear cussing. They hear people tripping in school. They got drugs. They got all kinds of people they're hanging around with. And guess what? When they come home, they need to hear something from the Lord. How many believe it starts at home? How many want to begin? And listen, if you don't have no kids, listen, start now. Talking to your spouse, talking to you follow what I'm saying? Talking to the people that you, the woman that you're going to spend, or the man you're going to spend the rest of your life with, talk about the word. See, because there's too much negativity out here to be consuming ourselves. And listen, here's the thing. You could decide what kind of Christian you're going to be. See, we have to develop Christ-likeness. We have to walk in the Spirit. In other words, you have to have some joy this morning. You have to have some peace this morning. You have to have some long suffering this morning, some patience this morning. Why? Because we talked about the word before we came to church. Because when I came into the presence of the Lord, I came with thanksgiving. I came with praise because God is worthy of all the praise. The text says, you shall talk about them when you sit in your house. In other words, what are you talking about at home? Amen. Is everybody going their own direction? Is everybody, you know, doing their own thing? And the conversations are not about God? Watch the text. He says, and when you walk by the what? By the way. And when you what? Lie down. Look at this. He says, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is he saying? Are you serious? So you mean I got to take God with me when I leave church today? Yeah, boo, you do. You sure do. So what do you mean? All we're going to talk about is God all the time? Shoot, no better person to talk about, because guess what? Everything else don't really mean nothing. See, if we grew up in homes like this, we would be different today, wouldn't we? And listen, I'm not talking about the people who talk about God at church and then when they go home, they don't live it. Not them kind of folk. Amen. Amen. Hey, this is truth. Ouch, amen, or thank you. You can say either one. You see, when you take them to school, before they go to bed, when they get up in the morning, amen, live the word, and they will in turn live the word. So the next thing is this. Show your children. That's what he means when he says, when they lie down, when they rise up. See, it's more than you lecturing. It's more of you living. This is why Satan didn't want this message to go forth. Amen. Why says, it's about you living the word. Walking it out. Amen. When you get angry, you apply the word. When you feel frustrated, when life just starts shooting you down, when it seems like opportunities are passing you by, when you get frustrated, when things are coming your way, and live it. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, man, I see how mama handled that. And when I get older, I'll handle it the same way. Show them how to live. Show them how to live the word. Amen. Listen, when we begin to live the word, they will succeed in life. See, I believe that we hold the keys as parents to the success of our children. Oh, I don't think you're hearing me. You know why? Because we influence them all the way through. The world, and listen, and see, here's the thing. If there's no conversation at home, watch this, then somebody's talking to them. Come on, somebody. Somebody from a different family values. Somebody with different mindset, different worldview. They're talking to them and they're shaping them. And you wonder why your child, somebody been through this before. Nobody talked to you at home. So nobody was interested in you. So you took a different course. You did what you had to do. And then all of a sudden you find yourself changing the way you dress, changing the way you talk, changing the way you carry yourself. You're a good girl. You're a good boy. Amen. But all of a sudden the enemy got hold of you and shaped you. And I want to say something to you. The devil, he doesn't play fair, man. See, what goes on behind those closed doors? Somebody here, I want to tell you something. I don't know. The Lord is telling me you got to change what's happening behind us. Listen, you got to stop thinking negative. You have to stop thinking negative all the time. You got to stop talking negative. You got to say, okay, I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to live the word. I'm going to talk the word. I'm going to live the word. When I rise up, when I lie down, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to seek God while I can find him. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Run to him when you feel like you have no one else to run to. And then people will see, your people in your house will begin to see something different. I know it gets hard sometimes. The world has a lot to offer. But at least we have the word. We have God's word. And he says, when you walk by the way, that's going to the bus stop. Amen. When you lie down, before you go to bed, open your mouth and pray and say, let's read the word tonight, children. Let's gather together before we go tonight. Even if we read John 3:16, everybody know John 3:16. My little daughter, Faith, she know the book of Job chapter 1. That's the psalm. That's the book she read all the time. There's a man from the land of, I'll never forget it. And he was wealthy. Because every night we would have her when she was little to read it. And she started reading. And then all of a sudden, that's the book she stuck with. There was a man from the land of Ur. That's as much as she can go. See, what I'm doing here, saints, is I'm giving you the blueprint to success. Listen, just imagine this. Just imagine if everybody stopped cussing, complaining, crying. Okay, and everybody starts saying, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. No, I'm not defeated. God's word says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We want the good things from God, but when we leave the presence of God, we don't take him with us and make a sanctuary where we spend most of our time. That's why David said, I will set nothing evil before me. My eyes, he's talking about in his home. Watch the text. He says, I'll talk about it. Verse 8, my last point. Verse 8, he says, and you shall bind them. See, in those days, they did not have books or Bibles as we do today. So what they would do is they needed a reminder of the word in a conspicuous place to help them to stay devoted to the scriptures. So what, see, because this happens to us. So what they would do, they have this little small box. And they would put the Ten Commandments in there, and they would strap it up on their heads as a reminder. Here's another thing they would do. They would, on their garments, they would tie a knot. And that knot, amen, would remind them that they need to read the word. God has given us something. Now, here's the reason why God is saying that they needed to remind themselves constantly about the word. Because they had never experienced success as they were about to. Going somewhere. Going somewhere. Watch this. I'm going to paint this picture. Watch this. They're getting ready to go into Canaan. A land, the Bible says, the fruits in Canaan, the grapes was about this big. One grape. There were giants in the land. God was going to take care of the giants. Watch this. They were getting ready to go in to a successful situation. I'm going somewhere. Somebody here, I want to tell you something. God is getting ready to move you into a successful situation. And watch this. And he's going to make you fruitful. And you're going to have some children with you. But here's what you got to do. You have to prepare yourself with the word of God, not fall in love with the blessing and forget the blesser. So that's why they needed a reminder. They would strap their arms up with a leather strap sometimes. The pain would remind them, I got to read. The box upon their head while they were walking around, it told them, okay, I got to remember the scripture. Do you know that the average Jewish child by 16 had the first five books of the Bible memorized? Memorized. The Torah. And so here's the thing. If God is telling us today that this is the way we should do it, he says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your what? Forehead. So the next thing, the last thing we got to do is show your children how to stay devoted to the word. How to stay devoted to the word. See, you can read it, and by the time you get in your car, forget it. But he says, bind it as a sign. You see, because where God's getting ready to take you, come on somebody, where God is getting ready to take you, the question is, what type of reminders do you have now to read your Bible? And if we're not talking about it at home, and if we're conversating about everything else, are we picking it up? Some people say, well, when I pick it up, Pastor, it's boring. I got something for you. You got something missing. You know what's missing? The Holy Spirit in your life. That may mean that you're not saved. Because if you don't have the word, and if you can't understand the word, something is wrong. There's a missing link. And so as I close today, I say this to you. Prepare your children for success by living, by being that Bible that they never seen, by living out the word of God, by being that example. And listen, listen, when they get to the point, amen, when they get to the point where they're older, the Bible says they will not leave the way. Why will they not leave the way? Because they had that example in front of them. I say this, a job of a parent is to be a filter, amen, in their homes. Water filters keep impurities from getting in. I'm going somewhere. Parents are filters for their homes so that the junk of the word, of the world, will not come in and clog up the lives of their children. You have to be that filter. You have to be that person that says, we're going over to the other side, but we need God's word. Listen, God told him something. He says, when you get there, in verse 10, when you get there, so then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your father, Abraham, Isaac, come on somebody, and who? And Jacob, to give you great and splendor cities, watch this, which you did not build. God says, I'm trying to give you stuff you haven't even worked for. But I can't bless this family if this family ain't about my word. If you don't know how to handle success, why would I give it to you to destroy you? I can't give you more money if you don't even do the basics now. Teach your kids how to tithe. Teach them how to give. Teach them how to worship with giving. He says, listen, I'm about to give you stuff. Can you really imagine this? God is saying, I'm about to give you stuff you ain't never had. You ain't did nothing for. Verse 11 says, and watch this, and houses, success. It starts at home. You have to paint the picture for them. That son, you're going to be successful. That daughter, you don't need a man to take care of you. You can take care of yourself. And when that time comes, God will bless you because you know God for yourself. I'm closing, but he says, watch this. He says, houses full of what? Good things, which you did not what? And what? Cisterns, which you did not what? Dig. That means water. Watch this. Yards of what? Olive trees, which you did not what? Plant. And you shall eat and be what? Let me say this to you. You may have messed up the first half of your life. But that child deserves more. Misery loves company. And just because you've messed up, now you know what you need to do. The question that I have to you, for you today is,